Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for 10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Caroline, Willie, D-Maze, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. You can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook, and we are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios. Joining us now is Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation reporter for the Tennessee Titans. TD, some of your biggest takeaways from championship weekend. We had a great game. We had a total dud of a game. Your thoughts on the AFC and NFC championships?
Yeah, well, I mean, Jalen Hurts could sit back and play that Kumo D song, How You Like Me Now. Because, you know, around this time, a lot of people last year didn't feel like he was a quarterback. And they were saying the Eagles needed to trade the draft picks in to move up and get one of these guys. But look what happened. So that's my biggest takeaway.
You just blew me away. I just had a flashback, 1988. I had the Kumo D cassette of the How You Like Me Now. Well, I forget, what was the album called? I don't remember, but that was – so our younger listeners may not know How You Like Me Now, but you were talking to me, Teron. I was there. I was flashing back to Winter Park High School back in the day.
That's it, man.
Dude, we haven't that is the music. We haven't heard much on the Titans offensive coordinator search. Why is that?
I think you're going to really see that ramp up this week, you know, at the Senior Bowl down in Mobile, Alabama. Starts tomorrow. But that's a time where you see guys start to, you know, land jobs and you know, interviews can happen there. You just, you know, you're in the mix and you're talking to people. So I could see that coming to fruition within the next week or so. As for why, I'm not sure, man. It seems like they're just kind of slow walking it. And this is basically what they did when they hired Todd Downing. They went through and they interviewed some guys. You remember Pep Hamilton was someone they put in a request for Tim Kelly, who obviously is now the favorite. So I think that's going to happen within a week or so.
Now, TD, I enjoy each year right around this time when you start to put together your sort of your big board on specific players. And a lot of times, you know, you put together that wide receiver group. Is there one guy at the Senior Bowl that you're particularly looking at? I know you tweeted about, I forget the school the guy was at, but you tweeted about a receiver that should be on the Titans board.
Yeah, there's a few down here, down there rather. You know, I'm already imagining myself there. I won't be there, but yeah, there's a few. I mean, you look at Jonathan Mingo. I think, you know, he's a day three guy that could come in and help out of Ole Miss. I like him. You know, there's a guy by the name of Dontavian Wicks who is from Virginia, and Jordan Reed, the ESPN's draft analyst, he had put me on to him, and he was like, hey, you know, he didn't really do much this year, but go back and watch his 2021 tape, and it is impressive. So, you know, those are a couple guys. I mean, there's a lot down there. Zay Flowers will be in Vegas at the Shrine, and A.T. Perry, those are guys to look at. But there's a lot, man. You know, there's you want the smaller dynamo type of guys. You have those. You have the bigger receivers. It's going to be pretty cool just, you know, watching those practices and things. I'm about to tap into the Shrine Bowl practices. Got access to that film, so I'm about to watch that when we get off.
Now, do you believe that this, and we've talked about this before, TD, that this offseason for Rand Carthon is going to be important as far as him evaluating and making sure he overturns every stone, especially this being his first draft with the Tennessee Titans?
Yeah, it's critical. You want to get off to an early start. I mean, this is a team that you look, I mean, it's not, what, over a year ago, you know, they were coming off being the number one seed in the AFC. I mean, they could make some moves and patch this roster up and be competitive quickly. But It's just a matter of, like you said, hitting that ground running and you know, making the right decisions, you know, draft-wise and free agent-wise. There's a lot that he's going to have to juggle, so it is important that he gets off to a great start.
Teron Davenport is with us. Teron, we just got the news today about the bump in the salary cap. It's going up pretty significantly. It's an all-time high. There was a little bit of a drag while the pandemic was going on. What effect do you see the most, first for the Titans?
Well, I think that makes a big deal for Jeffrey Simmons, a lot more palatable. That's something. And then it could also affect some of these veterans, right? We talked about Bud Dupree last week and just how, you know, he is a possible guy that obviously not at that number now, but, you know, you could redo it. It makes it easier. I think it's a better situation. Obviously for the budding stars, you know, your Jeffrey Simmons and those guys, but also for the veterans, you know, who are possible cap casualties, whether it's Robert Woods or Bud Dupree. I think regardless, the Taylor Lewan situation is what it is. That's probably going to be a parting of ways, but I think it makes it better. It's better for the veterans.
And do you think maybe if that's the case for all the teams, right, maybe they're able to keep one or two guys, two or three guys that otherwise would hit the market? Like, I'm wondering about how that part of it might work, that you can keep your players a little bit easier rather than lose them.
Exactly, exactly. And I think that's really what it's about, being able to keep your Austin Hoopers, you know, a guy who you may not sign. You know, right now, obviously, Nate Davis, David Long Jr., they're the priorities, and they'll, you know, work to get those guys done. But the Austin Hoopers, you know, those are guys that I think you can be able to retain a little bit easier now that that money's out there. But it's not just you, the Titans, having money. All teams are going to have money, so there will be other teams that could pay, you know, and make it happen, you know, if you have a guy that is drawing interest on the open market.
Yep, it's going to be fun to see that. Take me back. I mean, you're talking about the Senior Bowl here, but with Jalen Hurts going to the Super Bowl, as we talked about, you know, he was a guy that did not go in the first round. So I'm just, what did you see that, because I can remember at the time, you were pretty high on him when not everybody was, and we're all sort of in this mode of where do you get the successor to Ryan Tannehill someday, whether that's this year, next year, but it will be pretty soon, right? And it always helps if you can find the guy without burning or having to give up a bunch of resources to move up in the draft to get him.
Right, absolutely. The Eagles just basically kind of like stumbled into Jalen Hurts, to be honest with you. He was there and they took him. I didn't really understand the selection at the time because it felt like Carson Wentz was cemented as, you know, the guy the next 5 years or so. And I was disappointed that the Eagles, you know, picked him because I just didn't want to see him in Philly in that situation. But it worked out. And for me, what I really saw from him, you go back to his first year at Alabama and each year afterward, and then when he got to Oklahoma, all you saw was constant improvement as a passer. Initially, I remember watching him like, man, this guy, no, it's not going to work, you know. But he ended up at Oklahoma with Lincoln Riley, and he became a more advanced passer. And obviously there were some things that had to be tweaked, but he just got better and better. And then going down to Mobile, then being at the Senior Bowl, and then also at the Combine, and then having him on the show and just having a 15-minute conversation with him, like, man, this guy, he has that it. Like, he could tell me to run through a building. I'm going to run through it with him. You know what I mean? He had that type of leadership to him, and it felt like he was, in my opinion, in that draft, the most ready guy to go in front of 10 other men and tell them to do something, and they would do it.
It's also, and you watch the Eagles closely, their turnover from the last time they won the Super Bowl to now is pretty significant. I don't know how many guys are on the team that were on both, but I see a lot of different guys, and obviously it's a brand-new coaching staff. But they didn't have to go through a, quote, full rebuild where they just blew it up and started over, right? They just retooled, changed coaches, but here they are again.
Yeah, I mean, you look, Brandon Graham, BG, he's awesome. I hope he wins Walter Payton Man of the Year, him or Derrick Henry. But, you know, he was there. You have Fletcher Cox, offensive line-wise, Kelce, Isaac Seumalo, and Lane Johnson. But you're right. I mean, they, for the most part, were able to reload on the fly. And that's a testament to Howie Roseman. And Joe Douglas, when he was there, he had a big to-do with that also. And they just they're never afraid to make the big deal. And that's the thing I think that really stands out. If there's a move and it's going to make the team better, they're going to go through it. Look at the A.J. Brown deal. Look at them bringing in Hassan Reddick. I mean, this guy came back home to the Philadelphia area, 17 and a half sacks, you know, two last night. You saw what he did. And then you look at Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. They went out and grabbed him. The Saints had him floating out there. They got him, and he tied for the league in interceptions. And then you look at other signings, smaller ones, right? And Ndamukong Suh, Linval Joseph. They went out and got these guys just to continue to supplement the roster. And I think that's what you have to do. You realize you have an opportunity. You got to stronghold that opportunity and take advantage of it. And, you know, with Jalen Hurts on the rookie deal, they're able to go out and pay a $25 million a year to A.J. Brown, you know, and make those moves.
Tron Davenport is with us. TD, what do you think was the biggest difference looking at these four teams and even more specifically the Eagles and the Chiefs, the teams headed to the Super Bowl? What do you think is the biggest difference that sets those teams apart from the rest of the league?
Well, I think, you know, outside of the Chiefs, those four teams, right, and Rand Carthon mentioned it about playing Golden State Warriors football in October and November, but you better be able to run the football. And I mean, the Chiefs, they're not a running team. They don't have a rushing offense, but they got that guy, Patrick Mahomes, as Michael Irvin said, God playing quarterback. It makes up for not being able to run the football that well. So I think really the difference is that and then the defense, man. That Eagles defense, that 49ers defense, even the Bengals defense. You know, the Chiefs are coming along, but that's another thing. Those defenses are really, really good. So I think that's what put them in there.
Tron Davenport, ESPN and Foundation reporter. We appreciate you for joining us. We'll chat with you next week.
For sure. All right. Appreciate you all. Take it easy.
All right. Thanks, TD. Coming up next, there was one thing that I noticed that I think maybe wasn't the biggest difference, but it absolutely made a difference in the playoffs and what we've seen throughout the regular season and more of our takeaways from the weekend of playoff football. I don't know why I just had a total brain fart there.
We all do it.
Playoff football. That's what I was
just
trying to find.
Just wait till you get a little older,
yeah,
Caroline. Wow. It's going to start happening a little bit more.
Okay. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app, breaking down championship weekend, AFC championship. Had a great Kansas City Chiefs, Cincinnati Bengals game, came down to the wire. We were totally cheated out of what should have been a great NFC championship game between two of the best rosters in the league, the 49ers and the Eagles. We got completely cheated out of that. Of course, Brock Purdy going down with an injury. Backup Josh Johnson comes in. He's in concussion protocol. We've got Christian McCaffrey taking snaps. They've considered taking snaps on a Wildcat for the entire rest of the game. So I think we were just completely screwed out of what should have been a good NFC championship. But I look at, you know, the four teams in championship weekend. I look at the two teams that emerge going to the Super Bowl. And I hear a lot of conversation about the difference that the quarterbacks make. And I absolutely do think that's 100% valid. You look at the showdown between Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow, two of the best quarterbacks in the league. But then you look at the NFC Championship. And you have Jalen Hurts, a second-round quarterback, who before this season, I think we all kind of viewed as pretty average, you know, kind of a middle-tier quarterback, not that kind of guy that was going to elevate his team. I looked at Jalen Hurts, and I thought his days in Philadelphia were numbered, honestly. And now look what he's done. You look at Brock Purdy, the seventh-round pick. He was a third-string quarterback. He's nothing special. So I don't think that the quarterbacks made all the difference. Of course, in that NFC Championship game, Brock Purdy getting injured and having to bring in your fourth-string quarterback, then him getting injured, of course, that causes differences in a game. But I don't think that Jalen Hurts is the reason why, the sole reason why the Eagles are in the Super Bowl. I think it has everything to do with the pass rush. They were able to run the ball very effectively against the 49ers and have been able to run the ball very effectively all season long. Jalen Hurts is a part of it, absolutely. But I view the Kansas City Chiefs as being completely piloted by Patrick Mahomes. I don't know if that's a word. Jalen Hurts in the Philadelphia Eagles, on the other hand, it's more of a team effort, completely.
Yeah, it is. You know, with these two quarterbacks in these two offenses teams, they do things totally different, but they're getting to the same point. You know, it's we all come from different parts of Nashville, but we all are coming here to do the show. Mm-hmm. So we may, I may have to take a different role. Willie, you may have to take one. Caroline, you may have to take a different role. Everything looks different, but we're all headed in the same direction in regards to the final destination. So with Philly in Kansas City, they do things differently, but they are, but it's all geared toward getting to the final destination, which they have gotten, is the Super Bowl. Kansas City, they do it more so with their aggressive style at times, playing defense. You know, Spagnuolo, he does a wonderful job at putting together a defense for Kansas City.
He had a game yesterday.
And it's been great with him as their defensive coordinator. Absolutely. Now, they may not have the players on defense that Philly does, but the scheme works very well. And then on offense, it's led by Patrick Mahomes, but they do run the ball. Pacheco had close to 1,000 yards this season rushing for
and
a rookie.
Seventh round.
Exactly, absolutely. So next year, you figure if he stays healthy, the way he runs and his vision and his ability to do some other things, then his numbers are going to go up being the second year in the offense. You look at Philadelphia, they do it any way they want to. They throw the ball. They run the ball with the quarterback. They run the ball with Miles Sanders. They can do it a plethora of ways. Not many teams can do that, not even Kansas City. But, you know, I think you still have to have a quarterback that's able to delegate, you know, that's able to, you know, run this offense the way it's supposed to be run. Because you can have all that great talent. We saw it. You know, you have all that great talent. But if the quarterback doesn't do what he's supposed to do, i.e. throw three interceptions, you're going to lose the game. Jalen Hurts has elevated his game from last year to this year and throughout the season where, you know, this is the way we're going to win. And if we can't win this way, then we can win another way. If you're not going to let me pass the ball, all right, fine. I just hand it off, you know. But one thing I'm not going to do is turn the ball over, you know, because if I turn the ball over, regardless of all this talent we have, we still going to lose. Patrick Mahomes the same way. As great as he is, he doesn't turn the ball over.
Not as nearly as much as you think he should.
Absolutely. As many times as he throws the ball, all these angles.
There's no way that's going anywhere.
Exactly.
And he's right on the money with it.
So he's a great quarterback that doesn't turn the ball over as much as maybe you think he should, considering the angles he throws from and everything else.
Yeah, it seems risky. But exactly. He doesn't turn it over that much.
Tight windows.
I think another thing to point out when we were discussing the two teams here is once upon a time, Mahomes was a quarterback of a Super Bowl winning team when he was still on the first contract. Mm-hmm. And they had more money to the rest of the roster for guys like Tyreek Hill. They used to have a little bit more of a stacked weapon. But to his credit, he's that great to where they've lost Tyreek Hill and some other guys. They've had to make some tougher decisions. And he's still good enough to carry them to the Super Bowl. And that's, what, 5 straight years? As he's evolved from the up-and-coming guy on his first contract to now getting what he deserves to get as a franchise quarterback, and they're in the Final Four every year. That's a pretty good roster construction evolution. And we just talked about with Teron. They've sort of turned their roster over, coaching staff, but now they've got the roster where they had the money to play with to go get A.J. Brown, put a stacked roster around Jalen Hurts, who is relatively inexpensive, right, as a second-round pick on his first contract. Miles Sanders, the running back, he's still on his rookie contract. So that gives you more money and resources to the rest of your roster. So that's the interesting part. Like when you have the quarterback, the challenge is you have to pay that quarterback. So you have less. You got to be smart with how you put it around them.
And I think that's the difference, what you just mentioned there, the difference between Patrick Mahomes and elite quarterbacks like Patrick Mahomes and maybe the quarterbacks in the rest of the league is – from the outside looking in, you don't lose Tyreek Hill, a top 10 receiver in the league, and get better. But the Kansas City Chiefs haven't missed a step. Even when Travis Kelce is kind of banged up, their run game's a little bit banged up, they don't have their entire receiving core, and you lose Tyreek Hill, you lose your gunner type of guy, and then you're back in the Super Bowl. And it's not a knock on quarterbacks that need weapons, because quarterbacks need weapons. But I think that just shows the difference between Patrick Mahomes and so many other quarterbacks is he can make it work.
Yeah, and he's going to he's going to continue to make it work. Barring some injury or something, he's going to continue to be. I can't see there being any drop off with Patrick Mahomes. With Jalen Hurts, I can see him continuing to evolve within this offense and him getting to a point where he knows his offense like the back of his hand. And when you do that as a quarterback with the ability that he has to play the position, he's only going to get better because now he's just going out there and playing, because he knows where everybody is supposed to be at all times on the field. That's what make, Tom Brady so great, because Tom Brady knows every inch of that football field. That's what makes Patrick Mahomes so great, because Patrick Mahomes knows what's going on everywhere on the field. He finds guys at the end of the day that are behind him, and he ends up throwing the ball behind him, and they end up picking up yards. Why? Because he knows where all 10 guys are supposed to be on any given play. And when you have that as a quarterback, there's nothing, and then the ability to throw the football, there's nothing you can't do. Why do you need offense? I know what, that's why Peyton Manning was so great. Like, he knew exactly what to do. Like, I know what to do. I know what you're going to do before you even do it. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and check out all those stuff. Do everything you want to do. As a quarterback, I know what I'm going to do, and I know eventually what you're going to do. So I'm going to operate as such. That's what makes these quarterbacks. It's not necessarily the physical ability. It's the mental the mental ability to know the game more than the people that you're playing.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We are right into your phones coming up next. Anything is on the table. The games yesterday, the Titans, your thoughts on the officiating over the weekend as well. We'll get into those. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, the game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, the game. And the Game Nashville app. The people have spoken. We've neglected the people, but unless you have a thought. To the phones?
Let's do it.
All right, to the phones. Chuck texts into the text line about some of the officiating over the weekend and says, Willie, are you saying that the refs call exactly the same way when Tom Brady is quarterback as opposed when Joe Burrow is quarterbacking? Because if they're calling the same way, they should have been at least two, maybe three roughing the passer penalties.
I think every officiating crew is different, and I think there's a lot of variables in there. And so the answer is no, but I think what's common is I think they're all trying to do the best that they can. I agree with him that there were a couple times, one in particular, that I thought Burrow should have gotten the call on a roughing the passer. And I've seen Burrow get calls that I didn't think were roughing the passer. Brady, that's an age-old thing. Do the superstars. We just got done talking about LeBron, Michael Jordan. Do they get the calls? Baseball, before the strike zone was a little bit more, strict. I think there was a lot of veteran guys that would get the benefit of the doubt. A lot of times pitchers and hitters, Tom Glavine and Greg Maddux and those guys, could they get a couple extra inches on the corner? That's an age-old thing in sports. But it shouldn't be like that, I don't think. But that doesn't mean that these guys aren't human and they have sort of their own interpretation. But I draw the line. Just going back to earlier in the show, I don't think that there is a plot to rig games against certain teams, certain quarterbacks, and elevate certain quarterbacks. I don't believe that. Now I know there's some people that do, but I just don't believe that that's the case. I think it's very difficult to officiate games in all sports.
Yeah, it is difficult. These individuals are bigger, stronger, faster, whether it be men's sports or women's sports. It's just the athlete has changed dramatically from, 15, 20, years ago, further back, obviously. Mm-hmm. But, even in the last 10, 15 years, the athlete has changed. So it's harder to officiate these games night in and night out or week in and week out. I've always said, when you're talking about the NFL, because the game is so fast, there should be a rigorous training you need to go through in off season for refs. because, you know, you got to be able to run with these guys. You got to be able to be at the spot at the right time to make some of these calls. And a lot of times you see these refs running from behind trying to make calls or moving out the way. No, you know, you need to be, you know, in shape and be able to, you know, conduct yourself on the field as such and be able to move around. Because these guys are, again, they're getting bigger and they're getting faster, and it's making it a lot harder for you to officiate games.
I also think specifically to roughing the passer, that one needs a look mm-hmm. in the offseason. I don't know if it's to be able to give the ability for a team to review a real tic-tac roughing the passer, something like that, but we've gone way too far with the roughing the passer. And now you expect it so much because sometimes it doesn't look like it's anything and they're throwing it, that I can see why Joe Brohl went nuts yesterday.
Yeah,
there have been calls that were 10 times lighter than what he got on that instance there that they threw the flag. They just threw it automatically. Oh, that's how we do it. So he's looking, he's like, are you kidding me? That's been a penalty all year long. Why isn't that a penalty here? So I do think they need to re-examine roughing the passer. I know what the intent is to try to protect quarterbacks, but it's gone too far.
And I look at, I think it was a Bucks-Falcons game in the middle of the season. And it sticks out in my memory because it was such a highly contested call. And it was Tom Brady, and he has the ball in his hands, and he's dropping back, and it's a fair sack, is what it looked like to me. And it was called roughing the passer. And a lot of people were thinking, you know, is this a call because it's Tom Brady, to the texter's point earlier? And I don't think that that's the case. I don't think that the NFL is the type of league that is very superstar focused, that they are going to do whatever it takes to protect superstars. But when you see bad calls like that on a Tom Brady, it makes you think. Think about the fumble versus incomplete pass. Josh Dobbs in that final game of the season against the Jacksonville Jags, you know, he gets a ball batted out of his hand. It's called a fumble versus when we see the exact same thing from Josh Allen in that Bills-Bengals playoff game, and it was called in Josh Allen's favor, and it was an incomplete pass. And that fumble call could have been the difference between the Titans winning and losing that game, winning and losing the division, and then going to the playoffs or not. So when you see calls like that and you can compare them side to side, and it's superstar versus not superstar, or really good storyline versus maybe not as good storyline, it's not crazy to think that people go to these lengths. I don't think that it's the case. I don't think that the NFL is that kind of league that would question the integrity of the game, of its reputation, mm-hmm. to cater to those storylines, to the stars, whatever it might be. But when you see things like that, it makes you wonder. Dave in Arkansas texts in and says, I think the NFL needs to make these referees full-time. Have them do all kinds of training, D-Mace, to your point, simulators, situations through the entire offseason. It has got to get better. This is getting out of hand to where it's determining games. They need to use eye in the sky more often. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like this year the officiating was worse than in any other year in the past. Or was maybe more relevant. The storylines of blown calls or calls determining the outcome of a game has been so much more contested this year than it has been in the past.
I feel like that comes up every year for mm-hmm. discussion. I'd love to see an actual study on how can you compare it. Like I would still say probably the worst one is still that Saints-Rams one.
Yeah.
That's still the worst single call.
Right.
Now, you know, how was it for the whole year compared to other years? I don't know. Like we all have our own image. Like depending on which games we watched when we were watching, mm-hmm. did we watch more this year than we watched last year? I don't know. There's a lot of things that could affect how we feel about it. But I the full time ref thing comes up every year. Mm-hmm. I do wonder. I wouldn't have a problem with it if they did it, but I do wonder. I think you could still do that, and I think we would still be having the same discussion every year.
Right.
The officials are worse than they've ever been. You know, like it just comes up every year.
I don't want to like cloud my judgment by thinking that just because it's recency bias. But I do think, I felt like every single week there was something or multiple calls that people were calling out of being, okay, this is really bad. And it's not even people that are fans of a certain team or have some sort of bias toward a certain team. It's just like, whoa, 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 whoa here. This is not very good.
Yeah, I mean, it all depends on how much, you know, these men and women are getting paid. I think last, because they don't put their salaries out, but I think it's around, it's six figures. mm-hmm. somewhere around there, whether it's high six figures or low six figures, it's six figures.
It's a healthy income.
Exactly, at that level. So I'm sure that, you know, these refs, because some of these refs are lawyers and whatnot, have businesses and whatnot. And some is, you know, this is what I do. You know, reffing is what I do. So I'm sure there will be a little bit of pushback from the refs. If you say, well, this is, you know, we want it to be a full-time gig for y'all.
I do think, too, if they could incentivize better athletes, former players, mm-hmm. to become refs, and maybe that is with a better package, yeah. better pay, I think you could up the quality there. Right, we had a texter on the line to tie it in. You know, for example, I don't, NHL refs still struggle to see everything. They make mm-hmm. mistakes just like everybody else.
They're human.
The athleticism you have to have to mm-hmm. skate for the entire game yeah. up and down. I mean, you've got to be able to be pretty athletic to do it. And there are some former players on some level. I just don't feel like we see enough players who really played the game at a high level want to become referees. Yeah. Not many really want it.
I don't think many even think about becoming a ref.
Yeah. You know? I know I didn't. When yeah, I was I done never playing, thought about I was becoming like, oh, a ref, become a you ref. Know? No.
I wonder why that is. Is it pay? Is it you don't want – I mean, a referee's job is so awful because if yeah. you do your job perfectly, you get no praise for it. Mm-hmm. It's good. You did your job. If you make a mistake, it is just, you know, World War III. So yes. I wouldn't want to have a job like
I
that.
I think that's probably what they see their whole yeah. lives, right? Yeah. They've been yelling at officials their whole life. Mm-hmm. They've watched fans yell at officials the whole life. They don't want that.
But I think you do have, there's a certain temperament you got to have too, mm-hmm. because you got to be level headed, like extreme, like your ego has to be thrown out the window. Right. It has to be, because you are encountering, you know, men in the heat of the moment, and they're going to say some things, and you got to be able to, you know, understand that, okay, the situation of the game and not make a rash call, and you got to take your ego out of it and say, well, listen, I understand what he said, but I know why. Let me move on. Let me get away from him mm-hmm. so he doesn't get a flag or something like that. And some people probably are not built that way. They, you know, it's like, hey, you say something to me, you know, my only course, I'm just going to throw a flag on you because I didn't like what you said, it, you know, or I didn't like you, you know, per se. So it takes a It just like it takes a special person to play in the NFL, it takes a special person to ref in the NFL, too.
And I do think, because we can nitpick the calls and the opinions that were made by, you know, a Joe Schmo referee, mm-hmm. whatever it might be. I think it's less about the referee. Mm-hmm. It's less about the individual person and more so about the league. Mm-hmm. The league is responsible for its referees. This is the league's product that they are putting out, and the referees are inherently ingrained within the fabric of the NFL. It's the league's responsibility to make sure that these referees have proper training. It's the league's responsibility to make sure that all calls are as uniform as they could possibly be. It's the league's responsibility to review things and to react accordingly. So, it, to me, it's more so about how the NFL responds, mm-hmm. more so how the individual referee makes certain calls or makes certain plays. It's about the greater being and the greater good of the game of football.
And I think these men and women are, you know, they are, the training that they get is top notch. But I think a lot of the issue is, everybody, regardless, we can all read the same handbook mm-hmm. and see the same rule, but when we leave the building and go to our respective places to ref or get on the radio, it's up to our interpretation now. It's how do we see it on the field? I know what the rules say. We all know what the rules say, but how does that individual call the game, or how do we, you know, do a radio show apart from one another?
Right.
You know, so I think the NFL does a great job at that, but then it's up to the individual refs, because everybody's not going to call it the same. Mm-hmm. You know, one guy may call more holding calls. That's what we see in the NFL. One guy may call more holding calls. One guy might call more pass interference calls. Right. It's just some guys give a little bit more leeway than others.
Right.
So.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Something that happened after the game, and I think that this person is catching a lot of flack for it, and I want to get into my thoughts on that and Willie and D-Mace's thoughts as well. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063, the game. And we have a very good giveaway. So be the first person to answer Willie's trivia question correctly, and you will win a pair of tickets to see the one and only Adam Sandler live at Bridgestone Arena on Friday, February 17th.
All right, Bill.
I appreciate you. How about this beautiful trophy? Huh? Hey, I got some wise words for that Cincinnati mayor. Know your role and shut your mouth, you jabroni. You gotta fight for your right to party!
There you go. That was
Travis. Oh, my goodness.
That's Travis Kelce post-game. Calling the mayor of Cincinnati a jabroni.
Yes, I love it.
I love it so much. And if you didn't hear, this, the mayor of Cincinnati put out this video on social media of him saying, that Patrick Mahomes needs to get a DNA test to make sure to check if Joe Burrow is his daddy. And that, you know, it was Burrowhead, not Arrowhead. And it's all clean fun. I have no problem with the mayor saying that. But I also have no problem with Travis Kelce clapping back at him at the end of the game. I love that.
Hey, Nick, you got to play that again. Oh, my goodness. I love that, man. Goodness, you got to love Kelce.
How do you not love Kelce? And I know that there were some people saying it was inappropriate.
What?
Some people didn't like it.
Come
this
on.
This is football.
Exactly. Listen, if you're going to clap at me, then
you're going to come for my
quarterback? Exactly. I'm going to come back when we win. I'm going to come back at you. But the problem is, I'm going to come back at you even harder. You know?
Exactly.
Well, I mean,
if
it's all fun.
If you can talk the talk, you
exactly.
got to walk the walk. And if you walk the walk, you have every single right to talk the talk. Travis Kelce walked the walk, so he talked the talk.
Man, I love it.
What was the mayor thinking? Like, what is the oldest adage in sports? You do not do what? You do not give the other team bulletin board material.
Mm-hmm. And that was
what does the mayor do?
Especially if you ain't the one playing.
Exactly.
Goodness.
Yeah, Zach Taylor was probably
tell.
Thinking, no, mayor,
no.
not getting reelected.
What are you
not from
doing?
Me, at least.
That is the worst because it has been time-tested, right? Because mm-hmm. people, I think, often wonder and they say, does it really make a difference? Did they play any harder? I do think when you get good bulletin board material, it does get the guys going, doesn't it?
It fuels you during the week. I mean, yes. Obviously in the game, you're not thinking about it.
Right.
But after the game, if you win, that's the first thing that come to mind.
Bulletin board material is a thing. I am a believer of that. Now, sometimes it can be kind of, what's the right word? Just it materializes when it's really not that big. It can be fabricated a little bit, right? Sometimes you're looking so hard for the bulletin board.
You'll find anything.
But when you're given one in your lap like that by the mayor, that I do think that gets, oh, man, it's on now.
Oh, absolutely.
So, I mean, I don't know if I would have done what Travis Kelce did, but look.
I would have done
it's
it.
It's his right.
I would have did it. Listen,
you would have done it.
Absolutely, I would have done it. Listen, if you're not putting on a helmet, if you're not putting on cleats and pads and going out there and play, shut your mouth, okay?
Jabroni.
Exactly, jabroni.
That is the definition of a jabroni. You talk it, and you can't back it.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Just listen, you ain't the one out there that's got to fight these battles. Yes, you are the mayor of Cincinnati, but you're sitting with your buddies and your family watching a game. Don't comment on a game. Don't give them energy, okay? Because that's just what you're doing. You're giving them energy. Sit on the sideline. If we win, then you can talk all the smack you want to. Mm-hmm. But before then, mayor, no. And you're not getting reelected. That's what my thing was. Yeah, you're not getting reelected.
That probably didn't help him very much.
Exactly. They're going to blame it on the mayor.
When is the next mayoral election up there?
But I do think that was probably playing on repeat all week long in the Kansas City locker room. Because they said it after the game. It's not Burrowhead. It's Mahomes' house.
Yeah.
So that was absolutely fuel for the fire for Kansas City all week long, and I appreciate it. I like that Travis Kelce did it. Let's get your thoughts on it. Ben is up next from Lantern by WilsonCountyHunter.com. What's up, Ben?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good.
So I was kind of briefly listening. I popped in while you guys were talking about referees and how they have everyday jobs. And you're right. My dad has been a high school and collegiate referee for over 25 years. And it's true. They do have everyday jobs. And I can't remember who was talking about it, but someone was talking about the abuse that they handle from fans. And my father has always said, I get paid to get yelled at the games, but at home it usually costs me.
Mm.
Yeah, thank you for your call, Ben.
Thank you.
And that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
That's the why I don't think there are people, you know, scratching and crawling at the door to become NFL referees.
It's got to be a different person because, like you said, you're right. You got to walk. You're walking into an arena or a stadium knowing that whether you're, you know, it doesn't matter where you're at, you know, but you're going to get yelled at. You're going to get called names, you know, and you got to be able to sort of block it out, mm-hmm. you know, to a point and put your ego to the side and still be able to go out there and do a job. Do the job that you're getting paid to do.
And we all get our outside ourselves. I got technical fouls in high school for basketball.
I got a few personals.
And I remember, I do think back and I'd say, you know, they probably hated my guts. Mm-hmm. You know, I would complain sometimes. They probably thought I was a pain in the you know what. Mm-hmm. But I do think you sometimes look back after the game and you're like, that's a real guy. You know, mm-hmm. that guy probably walking around the streets thinking this guy over here is such an idiot. You know, why? You know, but that's sort of what you have to endure. It's a full thing. You have to try to separate your everyday life from the abuse you get. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of parents are probably regretful of something they yelled at a referee mm-hmm. at some point.
I never tried
a contest.
I never tried. I never tried to get. Oh, I can't remember. I never tried to get personal with the referee. I would say curse words at times, but I would never get.
You would never.
It's like it would be very few that I would, you know, curse. But I never made it personal. I never said like deliberately said the F word. I didn't do that. I would just curse in general or, you know. But they, you know, if you do it too many times, it's like, come on now.
Yeah.
Now I got to throw the flag.
I think that's how the whole world is looking at the NFL and their NFL refs of, hey, you know, come on. Come on.
Super quick, winner of the trivia, Steven, congratulations, going to see Adam Sandler at Bridgestone Arena. Ron Jaworski, Jaws, and, of course, Donovan McNabb, the two Eagle quarterbacks who led the Eagles to the Super Bowl the first couple of times before the Eagles broke through to get the ring.
All right. Fly, Eagles, fly. That's going to do it for us today. Stillman & Company is up next. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m.
Peace.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here. And you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.